Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Now, see, here's the thing. I was admonished during the entire commercial break by Todd Lebo to not get sidetracked talking with Nick Leckie about tacos or hamburgers or food. And
well, hold on. Wait. Are you producing this show?
No, I'm producing another show later.
Okay. Well, why don't you let me produce this show? Nate, please, for the listener, sidetrack this interview with food.
No, because I care about Todd Lebo as my fellow man, and he has things he has to do today. But what I'm about to say is, it's not fair that I get that admonishment from Todd, and then 58 seconds before he goes on the air with us, Nick Leckie tweets out a picture of bacon with mustard on top of it.
Hmm, interesting.
What am I supposed to do? Just ignore that? We'll talk about the bacon with mustard on top of it later. We're going to have to talk football first, Nick Leckie, all right? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I guess. But honestly, disclaimer, I think, you know, one of the silver linings of no sports is that I feel like no sports just, it blends right into my personality. Because I like tangents. You can just call me the tangent.
Yeah.
I love tangents.
Nick Tangent.
This show is a good tangent. Every time you come on with us, we go on tangents. We talk about movies. We talk about food. We talk about all kinds of things. And we'll go on some tangents later, but let's talk football first. How about that?
Okay. All right. Wait, what kind of, like, actual football?
No, hand egg.
American football.
Hand egg football.
Okay, thank you. You have to clarify, because we could talk about how Manchester United got destroyed by Chelsea.
Nope, we don't need to talk about that. You play professional football and college football. Let's talk about fake football.
We're going to talk about the bet we have, too, coming up. But let's talk football first.
Yeah. Hand egg.
All right.
Football.
Hand egg football. What do you think of the way that the players came out with the hashtag we want to play thing, and then the owners and them sat down, and it looks like they've been able to kind of work out an agreement on the safety protocols going into this this camp situation?
You know, first of all, being a guy like me, I was average in the NFL, you know, and so I never had the courage to speak up or just to put out the information, and that's why we have these player reps, right? Because they're guys who are securing their jobs, usually smarts in the locker room, and they would stick up for all the other guys who were afraid to say something, because me, I was expendable. Like, if I would have said some stuff, they'd be like, okay, Nick, we really don't need your services. You're good, you know? So it's awesome that they're all, you know, that there's guys who are securing their jobs and confident, and then they can just say not what they want, but what's needed to get done. And I feel sometimes, I mean, just any basic business negotiation, that you have to apply some sort of external pressure, right? If talks break down, then you got to put it out there on social media, right? And then I feel like that's giving players leverage in these negotiations, but just, you know, how to set the rules. So I think it's awesome to see that, you know, people can see that it's not just the players who are holding out. It's like, you know, I just want to be, you know, have a safe work environment, and that's going to be, you know, it's tough to do.
Nick Leckie is our guest, played the NFL for a couple of teams for several years. But you mentioned the feeling of what it's like to be, as your word was, an average player in the NFL. What's it like when they're talking about those things? What was the communication like for you back then about these, you know, you never had to go through something like this, and you weren't in the league when the lockout deal was happening in 2011. But just what were those discussions like, and when do you think you would have ever felt comfortable voicing your opinion about anything?
Fudge. Not unless I was signed to a multi-year contract with guarantees. You know, that's when you're safe. You know, it's whatever. Then you can be like, okay, what are you going to do? I've got guarantees. You can't cut me for this. It was like, so you talk to your player reps, you know, you talk to your elder statesmen, and just ask them to keep you informed either through text or through phone calls. And, you know, you kind of have some input, and it was nice in the locker room or in OTAs, you know, back when it was normal, is that you get together and be like, hey, where are we at? And then, you know, you could put in your input, say, hey, why don't we ask for this, or what are they asking for here? And, you know, the player reps, you know, they solicit input from people. And, you know, I always felt like I wasn't as keen on it until, you know, my fifth or sixth year. because, you know, when you're young, you really don't care because you're just trying to make it. But, you know, as you get older, you start to be aware of, you know, hey, you know, what's going to happen in the future for us as retired players, what's going to happen to all the players coming in. So you have a obligation to lead the league in a better place than when you came in.
So, Nick, did you feel more pressure to not speak out because of the team, or did you feel it from veteran players who were like, dude, you're a backup guard, you don't have a say in this? Because theoretically,
no. And
when you're in the union, you're supposed to all be the same, right?
No, and we are. And it was never player specific, and it was never like, I'm not saying like an owner would be, or, you know, a coach would be out to get me because of that. I think it's just, like, you want every opportunity to play, and you don't want to, you know, like, lose your job because you did anything off the field, right? That was sort of like that.
Yeah, you got other things on your plate. Like, you're trying to make the team.
Yeah, like, yeah. They're not cutting Patrick Mahomes.
Right, yeah, exactly, right? I mean, when Goodell said, you know, Mahomes was his boss, I was like, okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. But no, and it wasn't, and it's never like, there was never like an owner or anyone who said, you know, or a coach said, don't do this, don't do that. But I was just so paranoid that I was never going to take any chance like that to do anything, to jeopardize my future earnings and career and stuff like
that.
No, it was never pressure.
Hey, look, life is a sportscaster. You know, I've had a couple guys that I work with, and sometimes they're like, well, if this happens, I'm just going to quit. And I'm like, well, and go do what? You know, like, are there seven other radio stations in town that are ready to hire you? I mean, and some people have enough leverage where they could go, you know what?
Yeah.
But most of us in life are replaceable. That's the thing.
I think Nick learned to keep his nose in line in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And I did, too. Yeah, absolutely.
But,
I'm a good foot soldier. Absolutely.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to play some comments from a fellow member of the Offensive Linemen Union for you to see what you think of this, because one of the things that we are dealing with because of the COVID situation is a different preseason. First of all, no OTAs. No rookie mini camp. You know, the rookies, when they get there, this can be the first time they've really actually spent time in the facility. Then Andy Reid told us yesterday, once they get there, there's going to be basically a 3-day period of testing before they can do anything. Then there's going to be an acclimation process and then a ramp up process and then only, you know, a certain amount of time of practice and then might not even have any preseason games. I want to play something for you and get your reaction to this. This is former Chief Jeff Schwartz talking about how this actually could be a decent thing for the Chiefs, in his opinion.
The Chiefs have 20 of 22 starters coming back from the Super Bowl team. They're going to be fine. The Ravens, they're going to be fine. The Saints will be fine. All these teams that know how to practice, that know how to be efficient, that know what they're doing, that have great communication between players and coaches will be great. Young coaches, young quarterbacks, good luck. It's going to be a disaster. I mean, are you telling me that in 14 real practices, Joe Burrow is going to be ready to play an NFL game week one against, I don't even know who they're playing, you know, seeing a zone blitz for the first time that he hasn't seen in practice yet because they haven't practiced everything yet? Like, it's going to be really, really tough for young players to make the team, first of all, and then when they actually have to play, to know what they're doing.
What do you think of that, Nick?
You know, it just depends on each team, right, and each coach. I do agree with him, though. I mean, the Chiefs return damn near most of their starters offensively and defensively. And that will be the advantage because it's not just, you know, coach-to-player communication. It's player-to-player communication. And if you've had, like, especially on the offensive line, there's so much little small talk going on between the guard and the tackle or the center and the guards. Tackle and tight end, that if you already know what the guy next to you is going to do and you know how to coach that person up, then you do have an advantage. And if, I mean, you know, OTAs are cool, but I think that training camp was always a big adjustment for rookies anyways. Even in the days when you had OTAs and rookie mini camps and stuff, because you got to learn everything and then now you got to do it in full pads. So it's always going to be an adjustment, and I do like the way that not only just how the Chiefs operate, but just how it's a big teaching community, basically, because, I mean, you know, on our In the Trenches podcast with BJ and I, you know, we interviewed Hitchens, and he was telling us about, you know, how he's teaching the young guys, you know, how they reach out to all the draft picks and say, hey, welcome to the fold. Here's how it's going to be. So just because Andy Reid has fostered a teaching environment and a true family environment, that's why they have an advantage, along with the starters coming back.
Well, time will tell if they'll be in full pads anytime soon. This is going to be a weird training camp, too. They're going to have to, you know, bring all these guys here. They'll have to go through their testing. They're going to have some practice parts that are separate. I guess the good news for the young players is they don't know any different, maybe, as far as what it's like to be an NFL player. I think this will be a stranger adjustment maybe for some guys who have been around for a while. They're used to a certain way that training camp goes down, and this is going to end up being super weird the way they're going to try to organize this thing.
That's so true, Todd, that as a vet, you know what to expect. And as a rookie, you have no clue. So flipping it up will mess up some vets, but they'll adjust, man. You're a professional. It's your only focus is football right now and, being in shape. So it'll take a day or two to adjust, but we might see some sloppy football, or you might see some coaches adapt, where you can simplify a playbook. I think that the reason Lamb has so much success at Baltimore is because Harbaugh, they went to Louisville to see, what plays were good, and they tailored their offense. Gone are the days where here's our offense, quarterback run it. It's like, no, man, we're not gonna put this on like a cheap off the rack suit, man. We're gonna do a Savile Row custom fitted suit to tailor to your games. And I feel like that's what teams are going to have to do this offseason. You're going to have to slim down playbooks, basic stuff, and then, add on the layers as you go.
Now, go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was just going to say, do you think there's going to be more injuries?
No, because I think injuries are injuries can come. If you one of two ways, when you don't know the play, and then you kind of freeze up, and that's when people can fall on you. But I think a lot of time injuries happen also. They're unlucky, especially as an offensive lineman. If you're looking one way and some guy rolls up behind you, that's just unlucky. But I feel that with confusion, that can cause injuries. So whether or not there'll be not, no, it's luck or unlucky thing. That's all it is, basically.
Nick Leckie is our guest. And one of the things that the Chiefs have an advantage of, not just bringing back almost all their starters, they're bringing back all their starters from a team that was great and won the Super Bowl. You could bring back all your starters on a 4-win team. That's great, but if they're bringing back great players, okay? And another great player who's coming back is Chris Jones. Many people didn't think this was going to happen. It got done, and Patrick Mahomes sent him a text after his deal got done, says, I left some money out there for you. This is just unusual stuff that doesn't happen this way normally in the National Football League. You've got offense and defense, trust between them. You've got trust between the front office, the head coaches, and their star players to get these things done. Even with everything going poorly around football right now, things are going great for the Chiefs. How unusual is it to have kind of these things work out this way for a franchise?
Well, I think, like I said, I think it speaks to the environment that Andy Reid and Brett Veach have created. Where it is that brotherhood, it is a family, it is guys who really care for each other, and they're in an environment that's competitive, but it's not cutthroat, stab you in the back, pettiness that you'll find on bad teams where they know coaches are getting fired and they don't trust game plans, and it's, everyone's playing for next year, so they're trying to, rack up stats, or they're trying to, sell someone down the river, things like that. So there's no fighting. And so for Mahomes to do that, because I think for players, you have to maximize your earnings because your window is so limited and it could be gone tomorrow. So for Mahomes to do that for Chris Jones, I think that's really cool. To say, oh, wow, man, you left money on the table for me. I really appreciate that. And that's an honest sentiment too, right? Because I feel like Tom Brady is kind of, and the Patriots, they've set the standard of, Tom Brady was what, top five, top 10 paid quarterback throughout his career. He never broke the bank and had to implode that salary cap. So I think teams can see that, especially the Chiefs, and say, hey, listen, I want to get paid, but I don't want to bust the cap where I'm paid and no one else gets paid. And that's how you have a good team, is you got to build the roster top to bottom.
How motivated do you think Chris Jones will be now that he's got his money? I guess that's one of the questions we always ask about players when they get the big contract.
Right. Well, if you're worried about him going full Albert Haynesworth, no, he's not going to shut it down like that. but no, I feel Chris has the work ethic and the hunger and the desire and the wherewithal to realize, what they have going on right now. And so he's just going to be as hungry as ever, man, because that – that D line room, man, jeez, man, they just reload. They really do. And that defense, man, there's something to be said about those two signings with Frank and Tyron last year. That just really, and you know, having Steve Spagnuolo, having everything come together, right? Having people fit each other, and not many assistant coaches left, too. So, you know, everyone's kind of, you know, seeing that kind of New England model where, you know, guys are good in New England, but then they leave and then they're not good and they come back. So, it's a great environment. And I think that can't be stated enough. I've played on some teams where the environment was toxic. It was, you know, petty, you know, so, and then they've created a good environment. And when you have that in the NFL, it's a beautiful thing, man. When you're not worried about, you know, what your teammates saying about you and you're worried about just winning games, that's beautiful. That's how you win more games.
Nick Lecky is our guest, and since he's retired from the NFL, he's going to tell us a detailed story about a toxic environment. Fill us in. Who was toxic? What happened? Come on.
You're crazy, Todd. I'm not going to tell you that. But what I can say, though, from the places, like just people who they were your teammates, but they weren't rooting for you.
Right.
Right. And it's like, why? I mean, and everyone's kind of solo, like, oh, I got my block. And it's like, oh, okay, you can help everyone else out too, but yeah. You know, you can make a call and like you can say like stuff in a film room, be like, oh, I thought it was supposed to be this, and like kind of like that kind of stuff to kind of, if a coach missed a play or something like that, they'd sell you out, and then you're like looking, I'm like, okay, well, I mean, you're right, I was wrong, but damn, you have to sell me out like that. Just,
nope. Yeah, that can happen. That's not good. That's not a winning environment. Let's shift gears before we get to bacon and mustard. What are your thoughts about college football coming back at this point? You're seeing, you know, teams trying to get back and get some workouts in. There's a lot of things to do. As hard as it is to get 32 NFL teams to figure out a way to get this done safely, it's even harder when you're talking about not as much money at these college places and so many more of them. What are you hearing from any friends out in Manhattan around the Big 12 about you know, returning to play?
I haven't checked in with anybody in Manhattan about that. And it's, man, listen, you know, when we're in college, well, we're 18 to 22, and you know, you're invincible, right? You couldn't tell me jack squat when I was 18 to 22 because I knew everything, and that's what all those college players do. So there's going to be some sort of guideline, some sort of precedent. I'd like to see, I kind of like what California high schools are doing, and they're saying, you know, December, January, you know, pushing back varsity sports. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be the right thing to do, it really, just to push it back. I know, and don't get it twisted, though. I'm the first person who, you know me, and I bleed purple, and I've become such a super fan over these past couple years where my life finally revolves around K-State football, where it's like my kids have a game at 3 o'clock and I'm like, golly, come on kids, that's
your kid wearing his Texas Longhorn hat, you know, and you're
I think we've converted him.
Oh yeah,
I think he's no longer on. Yeah, we went to Austin last year and it flipped his mind.
Good.
It did.
He saw how nasty that place was and was like,
yeah.
Forget it.
The hill country in Texas is so unpretty. Absolutely. I was like, Flint Hills are way better, buddy.
Hey,
way better than hill country.
Yeah.
They are. No, I'm serious. They are beautiful.
They are.
I go to Wichita a lot, and that drive on 35 South is just gorgeous, man. Just this rolling field, nothing there. Just great plains, and I love it.
I'm driving down there Friday. I love it. I love it when you see those little entrances to the Flint Hills. It's beautiful.
Call that the Divorce Express when I was a kid. Every other weekend.
Why is that?
Well because my mom lived
in... That's a personal story. Yeah. That wasn't everything.
My mom lived in Ark City, and my dad lived up here, and so every other weekend we would do the exchange. We would execute the exchange at the Vista Burger in Emporia, Kansas. And the Flint Hills are absolutely beautiful. There's no doubt about it. And actually, all the areas surrounding Manhattan is beautiful.
It is. Lawrence is beautiful.
I traveled in the Big 12 for 14 years. And I can be honest, most of the towns in the Big 12 I'm not that big of a fan of. But I always thought Manhattan and Lawrence were maybe the two best. And I will say Austin's a great town. It's really fun.
It'd be great if except for that school there Austin, and all those people.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Oh, wow, Todd.
Yeah. Todd Nebo.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
Let's talk bacon now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears now.
And before, but he was like, he could tell that I was about to say some stuff I probably don't need to say. So let's just move on to bacon.
Get after it.
Tell me about this bacon and mustard.
Go back to your personal story.
So I'm all about just flavor. Like I am a if you don't know me, I am a massive foodie, and I love highbrow molecular gastronomy, and I love lowbrow, you know, eating fries out of fryer 3 a.m. in a kitchen or something like that. You know,
gas station taquitos.
Gas station hot dogs.
Right,
you know,
there
whatever.
You go.
So I encompass it all. And to me, you want to talk about just a beautiful flavor combo profile is bacon and yellow mustard. And also yellow mustard and hard boiled eggs. It is like peanut butter and jelly with milk. It is like, you know, red wine and steak.
Oh yeah.
It is a beautiful flavor combo.
You have to put the mustard in the egg when you make the egg salad, you gotta put yellow mustard.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, I've never tried mustard and bacon though. I like this idea.
Oh my gosh.
It makes sense yellow because
I've had it on my BLTs before.
Really?
I've had a yellow mustard on a BLT.
I'm waiting for the Uncrustables that are hard boiled eggs and mustard. I don't know if that's going to happen for the kids.
You know.
I'm not sure it's quite peanut butter and jelly lucky, but I don't know.
Well, that's, it doesn't keep as well.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried it. But were you sent to school as a kid with hard boiled eggs?
Well,
all right,
well, let's go this. You know, because when you're doing potato salad, there's either the mayonnaise potato salad or the mustard potato salad. I'm a mustard guy all the way on that.
Well, I'm not a potato salad guy. I try to save my calories where I can. So potato salad, no.
So wait, I'm
cold?
With you on that.
Just wasted calories.
Wasted calories,
it's wasted
man.
Calories
yeah.
to me. It's wasted calories.
Give him the bacon.
To me.
You know what? There is a calculus that goes into that.
Oh, absolutely.
Is this worth what I'm, you
I don't
know?
Need pasta salad. I don't.
I love a good pasta salad.
I don't need pasta salad. Oh. I don't need potato salad. Tuna salad and egg salad, I go for. But usually you're having that on a sandwich.
Yeah, well... My rule with pasta salad is that I'll eat it like on a 4th of July or Memorial Day or Labor Day, but only if I can use a Dorito as my vehicle, right? You get the soft and the crunchy combo. That's the only way I'm eating pasta salad.
The only way I'm eating pasta salad is if there's like pepperonis in it.
Well, it's got to be black olives and pepperonis. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Then you got my attention.
Yeah.
And pepperoni and mustard?
Right. Oh,
is that a combo?
I haven't had that. I don't
try
know.
It.
We'll try that.
All right, before we let you go, as
Nate
well,
wants to talk about Arsenal. Well, Nick, are they in the
Nick,
top four?
Nick
or no?
offered me a bet.
Nope.
He offered me a bet.
I did a shirt bet.
A shirt. So what's the bet here? What's the bet?
So whoever wins, the loser has to wear like if. If finally Arsenal beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final for once, then I will wear whatever Arsenal jersey you give me, and then I'll buy you like a decent bottle of bourbon.
What's up, shirt off?
Oh, I thought we were doing shirt and
off.
Bourbon. I thought we were doing shirt
that's
and bourbon. Like,
no, we are. That's what I said.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
He
okay.
just said it. I mean, that's.
Well, I thought you said jersey for me, bourbon for you.
No, both for both.
Okay,
no, combo.
All right, so if Chelsea wins, you're going to wear an Andre Arshavin jersey of mine that might not ever be the same. Schmedium.
I'm gonna fat guy in a little suit. That
oh yeah,
sure.
baby.
All right.
Oh, there's going to be some belly button
Chelsea,
showing.
Oh God. Oh, no.
I want Arsenal to win so bad.
I was going to say, I don't think you have to worry about it, Lucky. I don't think your squad.
Pipe down over there, Manchester United. Your team got smoked.
I know they did.
Your team's
I'm rooting
not
for the team that smoked them.
Yeah.
Chelsea are going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. You know, Lebo's like a revolving door. Chelsea, Manchester United,
I've been
who
on Chelsea since Drogba. You say this all the time.
You really have.
It's been my squad, and now we have the greatest American player.
You
here, so it's all good.
Bit,
here's what sucks for me. As an Arsenal fan, Olivier Giroud is like my favorite player that Arsenal had.
I love him.
Oh, he's
I
just
love
the.
Him.
He's.
Now, where's he now?
Oh, he's just such a handsome man.
Chelsea.
Oh, is he Chelsea? You
won't
did he score
him.
A goal the other day against Man U?
He did.
Oh,
yes, he did.
You won't find
did.
A better looking man on the planet than him.
Oh, he is so handsome.
Right?
I tell my wife, I go, hey, if I did my beard like that, probably you'd look like Giroud. probably. And she's like, not a chance in hell, player.
Right.
I was like, damn.
I went to the lady that cuts my hair, and I showed her a picture of him, and I said,
you bring in a picture?
I did. I showed her. I pulled it out of my phone. I said, make me look like this guy. She said, no way.
Check him out. I don't have the tools for this. Right, right.
I'm just a hairstylist.
I'm not a doctor.
I look like Husky. Hey. But will you guys give me? Do I look like Husky Olivier Giroud?
A little bit. You're a little. You're an offensive lineman, Olivier Giroud.
Who's the coach at? Who's the coach? Is it Wolverhampton? Espiritu Santo. That's who you got a little bit of a look like him. I'm going to have to show you a picture of him now, Lecky.
Jonah Hill is the best I've got right now.
That's it.
Nah.
A skinny Jonah Hill, way better looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in between Jonah Hill and Olivier Giroud.
Somewhere in there. Somewhere on that spectrum. So to watch Chelsea have Olivier Giroud and Christian Pulisic, who is the greatest American player of all time, it hurts me inside.
Why don't you change from red to blue?
Because you can't do that.
You can do whatever you want.
Now you can't do that.
No, you can't.
But
no, there's rules. There are rules.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right. So I've got my Arshavin jersey. You got to wear that. And what bourbon am I getting you?
Well, we'll discuss.
It's not going to count until it's over.
We'll
got to play the match.
$30-$40, and then you can wear my Michael Ballack jersey from 2006.
All right, let's do it.
Stud.
He was a stud.
He was such a stud.
Yeah,
God, I mean, he had it all. I mean, he was a man's man.
He's a good-looking guy too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, he is, man. He is a handsome gentleman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is.
Well, you're a handsome gentleman, Nick, and I'm going to try bacon with mustard on it because of you today. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
All right. We'll see you, buddy.
See you guys.
TED Talk every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Tangent Talk is what we call it. Nick Tangent on the show. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.